Happy Madaraka Day. See, when I think about Madaraka Day, of course, I think about the day we gained independence and self-rule, the day we became free from colonization. But looking at Kenya today, the real question is, are we really free? Tushangilie Kenya, taifa letu tukufu, Kenya tunayoipenda, daima Kenya yetu tunayoipenda, daima. When I think about that song, it takes me back to my childhood, when I was still a young kid in school, in primary. I was still a day scholar at the time. I hadn't gone to boarding school. So when I think about that song, it takes me back to my early childhood days, when radio was still radio, you get it? When traditional media was still traditional media, when we used to listen to radio, like our lives depended on it. Because 1st June was a national holiday. It was Madaraka Day, the day we gained independence. So it meant it was a holiday and the whole country will celebrate it. And for me as a kid, it meant not going to school. I was just happy about that. I really didn't even care about what independence meant at the time. It just meant school was off that day. But now, as an adult, I think about Madaraka Day. I think about the day we gained independence. It's so deep now because every year on Madaraka Day, Kenyans come together to celebrate a defining moment in our history, the day we took control of our governance and began charting our own path as a nation. We wave flags, sing the national anthem, and remember the sacrifices of those who fought for our freedom. But as we celebrate, an uncomfortable question lingers in the background. Are we really free? So, as we celebrate Madaraka Day today, my question is, what does freedom mean in 2026? What does freedom mean for us Kenyans? What does freedom even look like in 2026 for Kenyans? Have we achieved it, or are we still fighting for it in different forms? Well, time for us to have that uncomfortable conversation on Unspoken today. This is a very special episode. This is a Madaraka Day episode because, damn, this country can stress you out, bro. I'm so stressed. Like, when you watch news nowadays, you can literally go into depression because our country is in shambles. Our country is in chaos. Like, honestly, my heart bleeds for Kenya. My heart bleeds for my country. Our country is in chaos, is in shambles. Everything is happening at the same time. We are so messed up. We need to talk about this. So welcome to another episode today. This is not an amazing episode. There's nothing amazing happening in this country right now. So welcome to another episode of the Unspoken Podcast. My name is Awina Waiti, the host of this podcast. This is episode 164. You better sit down, relax. In fact, I don't think if you're going to be relaxed by the time you're listening to this, by the time you're done listening to this. But yeah, let's have this conversation. So, growing up, we were taught that colonization ended, that we won, that the flag changed, that power returned to the people. And all of that is true, but freedom is not a destination. It's a condition. It's not something you achieve once and keep forever. It's something you protect, something you expand, something you constantly fight for. Because what is freedom if a young person graduates and spends years looking for work? What is freedom if citizens are afraid to speak out because they fear the consequences? What is freedom if people work harder than ever but feel poorer than ever? What is freedom if women are not safe, if femicide is a constant issue? What is freedom if our kids keep disappearing? Maybe the question isn't whether Kenya became independent. Maybe the question is whether independence translated into freedom for ordinary Kenyans. Let's talk about the reality many Kenyans wake up to every day. The cost of living, bro. Rent, fuel, food, transport. And let's not even talk about the finance bill that has been proposed and is about to be passed. The government is distracting us with this fuel. Of course, if you don't know, if you're listening to this and you're not from Kenya, fuel prices have increased and the government is trying to distract us with the fuel prices so that they can pass this proposed finance bill. And let's say, should I even talk about the finance bill and what it entails? If this finance bill gets to be passed, it means that this finance bill, let me give you a brief, yeah, because yeah, this is a history lesson, guys. Get your pen and your notebook. So this proposed finance bill focuses on raising government revenue through wider tax collection and stricter compliance to tax administration amends. So it has a lot of details. It means that digital payments are going to be overtaxed. That is M-Pesa transactions are going to increase. If you transact using PayPal like me, transaction fees are going to be increased. This finance bill also wants to amend the Tax Procedures Act, which basically gives KRA the powers to access our personal data. So this basically means KRA can access our M-Pesa transactions, our M-Pesa details. Also, this finance bill will impose 25% excise duty on mobile phones. So mobile phones are going to be expensive, increase by 25%. This finance bill also gives KRA the power to freeze your assets or transfer your assets to KRA if they realize you're not paying tax. It also gives 20% withholding tax, VAT on fintech or digital digital services. This is like Netflix. If you use Netflix and Spotify, it's going to increase. Also, this same finance bill proposes that the trading platforms must submit their annual reports to KRA showing user and transaction details. So if you are a crypto trader like me, this affects you. And this is just a tip of the iceberg. You need to read that finance bill. But I love how our generation, we are so woke. Like, we are so up to par with everything going on when it comes to politics, the economy, the government. I love it. So take your time to read the finance bill. Take your time to know what's actually happening in this country. Because if you don't, bro, you're going to miss out a lot. Things are happening a lot. Just be at par because it affects all of us. And every year, it feels like life becomes more expensive while incomes remain the same. Many young people are doing what they were told to do. Go to school, get a degree, work hard, be patient. Yet, we're all struggling. We're still trying to survive instead of thriving, still postponing our dreams because the economy won't allow us to breathe. And that's where the frustration comes from. Because freedom should create opportunities. Freedom should make life feel better. Freedom should mean that your hard work has a chance to change your circumstances. Yet many people feel like they're running on a treadmill, moving constantly, yet getting nowhere. And one of the ironies of independence is this. Our freedom fighters fought against being controlled by people who didn't represent them. Yet today, many Kenyans feel unheard by people who are supposed to represent them. People don't just complain about taxes. They complain because they don't always see the return. They ask, even as much as, okay, let me say this. Okay, they're going to increase the tax prices, yeah? They're going to impose taxes. They're going to increase their taxes. Okay, if you're going to increase the taxes, at least let's see where that money is going. At least develop the country. At least let's see. If you're going to pay for it, let's see where it is going. But our government is the same government because they will increase the taxes, but our country will still remain. In fact, it's even worse than it where it was. So the real question is, where is all this money going to? I'm even starting to think, if you're celebrating Madaraka Day today, was colonization really over? Because I think it was never over. It just shifted owners. Because we can't see the return. Where are the jobs? Where are the hospitals? Where are the opportunities? Where is the accountability? And these aren't anti-government questions. These are patriotic questions. Because loving your country means not staying silent. It means wanting better for it. It means demanding better from it. A truly free citizen should be able to question leadership without being labeled an enemy. Now let's talk about another reality. Femicide. Gender-based violence. The fear many women carry every day, because freedom means very little if you cannot feel safe. A nation cannot claim complete freedom when women have to calculate the safety every time they leave home, when families continue losing their daughters, when stories of violence become headlines. So often that society starts becoming numb to them. The conversation about freedom cannot exclude women, because if half the population is fighting for basic safety, then freedom remains incomplete. Madaraka should belong to everyone, not just those who can move through society without fear. Women are being killed left, right, and center. We are not safe. Actually, yesterday, there was a march against the killing of women yesterday. Shout out to everyone who was there. In what world can we live where women don't feel safe? Leave alone women. In what world can we live where our kids are not safe? Imagine, kids are not safe. Kids are disappearing. Bro, when I tell you, when you watch the news, you will be legit depressed. Kids are disappearing. They're turning up dead. Kid. A kid, bro. What is happening? Where are we headed as a country? Here is where the conversation gets uncomfortable. Most of us imagine colonization as something that happened in the past. Foreign armies, foreign rulers, foreign flags. But modern colonization doesn't always look like that. Sometimes it looks like economic dependence. Sometimes it looks like debt. Sometimes it looks like resources leaving Africa while poverty remains. Sometimes it looks like foreign interests having more influence over our future than ordinary citizens do. And perhaps the most fascinating thing is how the language has changed. Nobody comes calling themselves colonizers anymore. Today they call themselves Pan-Africanists. Stay woke, guys. They call themselves partners. They call themselves investors, and I'm saying this with quotes. They call themselves our friends. They call themselves development allies. How can a foreigner, how can a colonizer become a Pan-Africanist? Someone who colonized us. How can that person come say they're a Pan-Africanist, and how can we glaze them and bring them back, and how can we accept them and bring them back into our country, because they are claiming they want the best for us and they're the same people who colonized us. And the question is, who benefits most from these people? Because history has taught us that exploitation often arrives wearing a smile. And there's another type of colonization we need to talk about. There's another type of colonization that's harder to see. Mental colonization. That's why I say this all the time. As an African, as a Kenyan, the best thing you can do for yourself is to decolonize your mind, because we have a long way to go from colonization. We are still as colonized as we were 63 years ago. We are still as colonized as we were 63 years ago. We are still suffering from colonization. Our system is still suffering from colonization. So the best thing you can do for yourself is decolonize your mind. So let's talk about mental colonization. What is mental colonization? It's the belief that what's foreign is automatically better. the belief that validation from outside matters more than validation from within. The belief that Africa is always behind and somebody else must save us. We've seen Kenyan artists become stars abroad before receiving recognition at home. We've seen local businesses struggle while foreign brands are celebrated. We've seen a lot of people want to chase greener pastures abroad with this ideology that it's harder to make it in Africa. We've seen brilliant ideas ignored until someone from elsewhere approves them. So freedom isn't only political. It's psychological. And perhaps true Madaraka is believing that we are enough. That Kenyan solutions matter. That African excellence doesn't need permission to exist. One thing that gives me hope is the younger generation. Our generation. I'm so proud of our generation. We are so woke. We are so politically aware. And I love it because our generation is asking the difficult questions. Our generation is refusing to accept, because that's how things have always been. We are refusing to accept that we are the change. We are the chosen journey. Generation. Nowadays, when I listen to that song, I think about our generation. Indeed, we are the chosen generation, a generation using social media, arts, podcasts, music, and activism to challenge power, to demand accountability, to imagine a different future. Whether you agree with every method or not, there's something powerful about citizens refusing to be passive, because democracy only works when people participate, and freedom only survives when people protect it. So, as we celebrate Madaraka Day today, my heart bleeds for the 254. My heart bleeds for Kenya. My heart bleeds for our citizens. My heart bleeds for our women. My heart bleeds for our kids. So today, as we celebrate Madaraka Day, I don't want us to focus only on where we've come from. I want us to think about where we're going. Because yes, we gained independence. But freedom is bigger than independence. Freedom is a woman getting home safely. Freedom is a world where our kids are safe. Freedom is a young graduate finding meaningful work. Freedom is leadership that serves the people. Freedom is being able to afford a decent life. Freedom is dignity. Freedom is justice. Freedom is opportunity. And perhaps the greatest way to honor those who fought for this country is not by pretending everything is okay. It's by continuing the work they started, by asking hard questions, by demanding better, by refusing to settle. Because maybe the struggle for freedom didn't end with our grandparents. Maybe it's our turn now. Okay.